coverage continues here at thecommentary.ca as we continue meeting the candidates in my riding, Vancouver-Kensington. Previously, we've met with the NDP, Liberal, and People's Front candidates. Later today, I'm scheduled to talk with a Green challenger. Joining me now on the line is the BC Marijuana Party candidate, John Gorton. In the 2001 election, he ran, gaining 3.5% of the vote. He is co-founder of the Unity Housing Society for Ex-Psychiatric Mental Health Consumer Services Survivors, a board member of the West Coast Mental Health Network, and the Provincial Board of Psychosocial Rehabilitation. Please welcome to thecommentary.ca, John Gorton. Good morning, Mr. Gorton.
Good morning, Joseph. Some of those references I gave were a little bit old. I have lived here in Vancouver-Kensington since 2000, and hope to be the representative to help free the herb and the oppressed in Vancouver-Kensington. I was one of the early members, member 365 of the BC Compassion Club, having joined in 2000, and I was kind of moved by the activism that I saw there and felt that maybe that I shouldn't be a slacker and should give something back to my community as well. I'm HIV positive, and although I use the herb for medical purposes, I suppose, I really enjoy marijuana, and I hope to liberate it for all uses, both medical. I don't really like to differentiate between recreational and medical, but I for all purposes, it's a healing sacred herb and has many uses. I think that anybody that reaches for it probably has a need for why they're reaching for it, even if they're not aware of it, or even if it's an emotional thing.
Now, the Compassion Society, is it?
The BC Compassion Club was founded by Hilary Black, and she's moved on now, but it was at one time one of the only safe sources of organic, safe medical marijuana that was available to people outside of the black market. And I guess remains so, but now there seems to be better alternatives for people.
Now that's for people with illnesses. That's for medical use, right?
Yeah, but I always say that, you know, cannabis is something to be enjoyed, you know, like a big plate of pasta, you know, enjoy, and that it's not a kind of a medicine you have to take in a bathroom with a glass of water under a bright light and in a prescribed way. It's something that you can take or leave, and if it's smoked, you can take just as much or as little as you need, and the effects are immediate. If it's taken, if it's eaten or taken in a pharmaceutical or pill kind of form, then you're kind of stuck with that feeling, and it's actually processed through your liver and a whole different enzyme created, and it can be a bit more long-lasting and maybe not the effect that, you know, the kind of effect people want. The idea that no medicine is smoked is erroneous. It's been used, and many medicines have been smoked for many years by people before, in the early Western medicine, but even before that.
By virtue of your party's name, it seems to strike me as a one-issue party. Is it?
Well, I think that what I found is that when you start looking at the issue of prohibition and the evils that it brings in terms of, people being wrongly imprisoned, families losing their children, people having their, you can commit rape or murder, or, you know, look at Michael Jackson or whatever, and they're not going to take his house away. Landlord's not going to kick them out. They're not going to lose the tenancy and their job and their status in the society and everything over a violent crime, but over a crime like marijuana, a person can lose everything. And I think maybe that's why people don't stand up, because they've just got too much to lose. It seems to be that the sick and the poor and the people who really have nothing to lose are the ones that they're stepping to the plate on these issues, because literally, they don't have anything to lose. If you've got to worry about whether your kids are going to be teased in school, or whether you're going to lose your job, or whether people are going to think badly of you, or you have to be afraid of that stigma. Or if you say you're a big star and You have to worry about travel privileges back and forth to the States to continue your career. You're really not going to put it on the line for cannabis. And you may not think it's that important an issue, but enough to do that. But I really feel that if we could defeat this drug war dragon, if we could end the drug war, that a whole plethora of social ills would be solved in the process. And of course, as we talked about with the Marijuana Party, if we could take this billions of dollars that are locked into the black market, the billions of dollars that are coming from the supply end of it. You know, I think everybody accepts that there's a demand for marijuana, but no one thinks about, you know, where does the supply come from? And is it safe? Is it a clean supply? And, you know, where is this money that gets laundered, you know, is now going to, I suppose, none other than organized crime, for lack of a better term, although sometimes you wonder how organized they are. But really, it's not going into the mainstream. It's not being taxed with, even with simple GST and PST. And that's billions of dollars that could be going to other things like healthcare and medical, healthcare and education. And not that marijuana is going to cause a big health problem. The Supreme Court has found it to be a benign substance, a Senate Committee on Illegal Drugs found it to be a benign substance in that it doesn't cause any harm. It may cause bronchitis in heavy chronic users, which is about, say, 10% of the 10 or 20% of people in Canada smoke pot, smoke it more than 3 or 4 times a week, and could open themselves up to that danger of bronchitis. But I really don't know where fear of bronchitis is a reason to be locking up millions of people, thousands of people.
Now, this prohibition, that's what you're arguing against, right?
Yeah, I once, I asked Richard Cohen. He's an anchor for pottv.net. That's a pottv.net and Cannabis Culture are sites that Mark Emery has been able to provide the cannabis community through the sales of seeds, which are kind of a gray area of the law. Treated more like, when they cross the border, if they're found, it's more like a vegetation thing, you know, like if they try to get fruit across the border or something, they're just destroyed. But, from those seed sales, he's been able to create pottv.net and cannabis culture and provide a venue for people to talk about pot. And we always say if it's about pot, it belongs on Pot TV. And one of my tasks is to tape anything in the media that has to do with pot and put it on Flash's news talks on Pot TV. And Richard Cohen is an anchor for Pot TV, and I was always just blown away at how he could defeat any prohibitionist that was trying to bring up something like the Gateway Theory or any of these 8 or 9 crazy little arguments that they have. And I said, Richard Cohen, how do you do it? And he said, well, really, they've only got about 5 or 6 arguments, and you get so you know them better than they know them themselves. And the answer to all of it is, if you take it in terms of prohibition, you think about, you know, what happened with prohibition? Why did Al Capone and all those boys have so much money and so much power, and how were they defeated? And it was really through the making mainstream of that dangerous drug, alcohol, so it wasn't being made in bathtubs like meth is today, you know. So, if you really want to take the sting out of it, we really have to look at give people a safe alternative to these hard drugs and to the black market.
Earlier you said that you were running to represent the riding. It seems that the Marijuana Party is a one-issue party.
Well,
how do you get
beyond
that and talk about other pressing concerns of
sure.
The constituents?
Sure. Well, I mean, I wouldn't want you to get the impression that we were a one-issue party, and I tried to stress that solving the issue of the drug war would definitely solve a whole lot of other issues. But maybe I can give you some examples of that. Just a second here.
For example, like what is your platform say about the environment or
sure.
Farm fishing or those?
Okay, yeah. Well, if you want to talk about like Forresty, for instance, we believe that, by providing tax incentives and subsidies for research and development of renewable resources, and this extra money would come from the taxing of marijuana, like a sin tax, just a basic GST and PST that you charge now on Starbucks coffee and chocolate bars and stuff like that. And we'd like to, we're actually committed to the environment, and we would invest, of course, in industrial hemp, secondary manufacturing such as oils, textiles, used paper, particle board, and we see hemp as a potentially dramatically reduced use of other natural resources. There's also, if you wanted to look, for instance, at the issue of energy in mines, we would like to see again tax incentives for their development, we've even talked about consolidating these ministries to maximize and reduce the administrative costs of them, what other issues are, I mean, if you want to look at water, land, and air protection, we feel that it would maximize the efficiency to consolidate these resources and the corresponding elimination of we'd like to eliminate tax advantages on non-renewable fuels by creating the condition necessary for progress. We would help ensure a more beautiful, vibrant BC as part of our commitment to the environment. We would invest in hemp as well, and maybe we even make marijuana, the marijuana flower, the official flower of BC, as much as everybody loves the dogwood. I think that maybe, as far as canna tourism is concerned, marijuana flower has become the real symbol of BC, and perhaps a more
representative
flower because the demand isn't going away. You may remember Dakine and how that went down. There were 15,000 people in 2 weeks signed up to be, signed a paper saying, I have a need for marijuana. Not necessarily, it weren't really pressing them as far as medical marijuana, but do you have a need for marijuana? Does it serve a purpose for you? Does it keep you away from alcohol? Does it help you with your daily stress? The need is not going away, and it's really the supply that we want to address.
Yeah, I've always been curious about your party in terms of, I was yelled at yesterday by Charles Boylan not to, the left-right divide and pigeonholing people that way is useless. Where is the party, the BC Marijuana Party?
In the last election, we had more, Mark Emery himself has always said that he's a libertarian, but he's just one force in the party. I know the people that make up the party, a lot of them are, pinkos. Like, I think sometimes of myself as a pinko, as Archie Bunker would say. But and so we kind of prop him up in his libertarianism. But really, in the last election, if you looked at our platform, it was really a pretty strong libertarian platform, and that got us in trouble with the lefties, I guess, because when we start talking about privatization of resources and some of the more practical solutions to the problems, we were getting in hot water because we were trying to please everybody with our policies. We talk about prostitution and education and things, and it was really so we were losing people on the one hand with a more radical libertarian philosophies, and so I think that this time we've really we've got a different manager of the Kirk Toussaint is doing an excellent job as campaign manager and working on policy and things, and he's been doing it for a few months now, even before the election. He's the winger from Detroit. I like to call him the slugger from Detroit or whatever, but he actually studied law at UBC, and Mark was very impressed with him when he was with the Civil Liberties Society out at UBC, and he went to Detroit, got an article, and got his law degree, but decided he'd rather come back to BC and work for us, because, hell, it's just a lot more fun. It's a real party sometimes at the marijuana party, but he's doing a great job, and we've really, I wouldn't say narrowed the focus, but perhaps just elaborated on prohibition and try to see things in terms of, how could we change things first by dealing with the issue of the war on drugs and taking, you know, once we solve some of those problems, then the other ones just fall in line, because then the money's there. Then the money's there to look at these other issues. I often ask, when I was at the All Candidates Forum at the Heritage Hall there, although I wasn't allowed to speak as a candidate on the platform, I asked the question. I said, you know, what would you, as a politician, do with that $2 billion, $3 billion that's now being laundered and going into the black market? You know, what would you spend it on? I'm sure everybody's got a pet project that they'd like to bulk up on.
What is it about the party? Well, I had a look at your nomination list, your party's nomination list, and I noticed that in one ride, in a couple of ridings where you weren't running candidates, you had endorsed candidates of other parties, whether they be the NDP or the Greens, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think you'd see us endorsing any Liberals in that list, but yeah.
What is it about the Kensington, though, that provokes you to run?
Vancouver Kensington? Well, of course, I live in Vancouver Kensington, and so unlike, you know, Patrick Wong, I sleep here as well as work here, and it's actually kind of sad. I moved into this neighborhood. I'm on Kingsway and King Ed, and I'm kind of on Ben. I'm on Fleming, and it's kind of tucked away. You know, it's tucked away from, and so you might get the feeling that you're in suburbia, but really, more and more, what I've been noticing is an influx of violent and crime and stuff into our neighborhood, which used to be just like a little Italian neighborhood, you know. And now I know it's the influx of crackheads and crack hoes, or they don't even seem like they're full-fledged crack hoes. They're more like assistant crack hoes. They have no support, no pimp or anything.
Assistant crack hoes, I've never heard that.
Assistant crack hoes, yeah, that's a rung below
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it was a Saturday Night Live. They were saying that no longer was the worst job crack hole. It's now assistant crack hole. what I've seen is this, with the crackdown in the downtown East End, there's a fallout. You know, it's sort of like a water balloon or one of these new twisty condoms, but it's full of toxic fluid or gasoline, let's say, and you bring a jackboot down on that, and it's just going to spread everywhere. It's not going to help. Since the crackdown enforcement in downtown East End, my riding has become more dangerous. I've seen I saw gang violence right outside my window. A kid being beaten with a baseball bat. The police did come and recalled the police and that, but the kid wasn't going to cooperate. It's brought nothing but grief. I heard the chief of police, I think it was the Surrey chief of police, say, the only displacement from the crackdown was the odd bum sleep on your park bench. But I see this unilateral use of enforcement without the other three pillars of harm reduction, such as education and rehabilitation and support and housing and that, as just done nothing but grief to this quiet neighborhood. I think that, and some are not having enough police, because I go for a walk at night to get my, smokes at 2 or 3 in the morning. I have to bring my friend, my roommate with me for protection now, but there's tons of police. They're all hanging out at the SO station, five, six police cars at a time, and they're all standing around eating donuts and things, and they just seem to think that they appear to devalue the street people's lives, deeming them perhaps more disposable. I don't know, but instead of, you know, trying to help these people, they're more interested in making a drug bust. You know, it's easier to really bust someone for drugs than it is to say, hey, you know, where are you living? Where are you staying tonight? Where are you, you know, how did you get in this situation? Why are you hurting so bad that you need to use these harder drugs? And, you know, it doesn't help to just move them from one section of the city to the other, as we've been seeing. You know, the people all over the city and all the neighborhoods are starting to complain that, you know, it's not as contained as it used to be, and that's a direct result of enforcement without the other pillars being in place.
John, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, that was fast.
It's been very interesting to hear why you're running, and good luck to you on your campaign.
Yeah, well, I really hope that people will, you know, I ran against Patrick Wong last time, and Ujal Desange, who turned out to be a bit of a turncoat, and I did get a full percentage more than the Unity candidate, which is more like Christian Wright. But I'm really hoping that people won't vote Wong again in my riding.
John Gordon is the BC Marijuana Party candidate in the riding of Vancouver Kensington. Their website is bcmarijuanaparty.com. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Flanagan.